Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio, right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett, on the web at barrettforcongress.us. I'm running for Congress here in the Western District of Wisconsin, that is the 3rd District, as a Libertarian candidate. And during this next hour, I'll be talking to one of my favorite Libertarian statesmen who happens to reside in the same district where I'm running. His name is Ed Thompson. And in fact, he's been mentioned as a potential congressional candidate in this district. Had he chosen to run this year, I probably would have gone ahead and just, you know, voted for him. But since he didn't run, somebody had to do it. It was a dirty job, but hey, you know, there I was, so I'm doing it. And Ed is, he's pretty well got his hands full as the mayor of Toma, Wisconsin. And he also runs a restaurant in Toma, Mr. Ed's Teepee Club. It's a great restaurant. If you're ever in Toma, whoa, boy, it's a wonderful place. Ed is a really interesting guy. He's done better as a Libertarian than just about anybody else. He got 11% of the vote in the governor's race in Wisconsin 2002, and third parties almost never break into double digits, so that was quite a feat. He has been a boxer. He's done all sorts of stuff, but now he's just kind of the most popular guy in my part of the state, and he's a real truth teller and a genuinely spiritual individual, which is a refreshing, right? You know, it's really refreshing to have somebody like Ed willing to get into the public arena and take responsibility for public affairs, because so often the people that do that are the greed heads and the shallow minds and so on. And somebody like Ed, who's just a real genuine, deep spiritual human being and a good guy, is the kind of person we need to get involved in public life. So I'm really honored to know him. I hope he's on the line by now. Let's give him a shot. Ed, are you there yet? Hello, Ed. Oh, we maybe don't have him on there yet. So, I can tell you a little more about Ed. Let's see. We're also going to have on another Wisconsin troublemaker, Mr. Dale Decker. Dale Decker is on the web as USA Dexter, and you can find his YouTube video account where he's got a bunch of stuff about his work with the Union Down movement. Dale is working to try to help get this movement going where people are hanging their flags upside down as a signal of dire distress. And as you may have gathered from what we were talking about in the first hour of today's show, our nation is definitely in dire distress. The 9/11 inside job was bad enough, but this 7 years later, the financial 9/11 has really put it on the line. And hanging a flag upside down is a great way to tell your neighbors that you are aware of just how dire our situation is. Let's see, is Dale on the line yet? Hello, Dale? Well, looks like we don't have either Ed or Dale. We're batting 0-for-2 so far. So hopefully I'll be informed when one or both of those guys shows up. In the meantime, I guess I can give you a little update on my congressional campaign here. I'm doing some really innovative polling here in Wisconsin's 3rd District. We've got cheaper polls than anybody's ever been able to do before, thanks to these automated calling systems. So we were able to do a scientific poll to find out what people thought about 9/11. We got the really amazing results. We polled households where there were at least 2 registered voters, at least one of whom had voted in a recent election. So these are pretty, you know, conservative, plugged-in people, not the disaffected, you know, the heck with it all kind of people that usually don't vote. These were people who were very much, you know, still have a certain amount of faith in the system. And yet we found that about half of them think that the Bush regime is telling significant lies about 9/11. And that 22% thought that 9/11 might have been an inside job. So that's pretty interesting, especially given that this is a very rural and conservative district. There are only 2 cities of any real note here in this district. So to have that kind of district give you that kinds of numbers on 9/11 is pretty extraordinary. And we're going to be picking this stuff up and running with it by doing some direct mail and some callbacks to the people who said that they thought 9/11 might have been an inside job. That project is just getting underway almost as we speak, and we're going to hope to organize those people and get a whole, you know, group of folks in this district organized to take back our country. And that's the thing about a congressional campaign like this. Even if it doesn't necessarily put me in Washington, which is not really the place that I want to be, and to be perfectly frank, I mean, yeah, if elected, I will serve. I'll serve out my sentence, I mean my term. Yeah, but the main purpose here is to raise awareness, educate people, and organize people so that we'll have something that lasts here rather than just this kind of personality contest to see who can get the congressional salary with the congressional perks for a couple of years and sell out to the special interests and pocket the money and stuff. I mean, that doesn't really appeal to me. That's not what it's really supposed to be all about. Well, let's see if any guests have shown up yet. Hey, anybody there yet? Ed? Dale? Either of you guys home? Hello, Ed. Hello, Dale. Well, maybe I better give out the number in case Ed and or Dale are listening. And anybody else who wants to call in can call in and join me here at We the People Radio Network. The number here is area code 512-646-1984. That's area code 512-646-1984. Call on in. If your name's Ed and Dale, especially call on in. But if your name's anything else, call in anyway. What the heck? I want to hear what you have to say. I guess I could tell you a little bit about the libertarian scene here in this district of Wisconsin. It's pretty interesting. As I said, Ed Thompson did set a record there with his double-figure performance in the 2002 governor's race. I voted for him. I think that was maybe the first time I ever voted for libertarian. Probably won't be the last. And the Libertarian Party here is kind of, it's pretty, it's kind of in a state of a bit of turmoil. And, some people like Ron Paul, some people like Bob Barr. Some people like Kevin Barrett. Some people hate Kevin Barrett. Some people like me because of my 9/11 truth work. Some people hate me because of my 9/11 truth work. Some of the libertarians here are just kind of warmed over Republicans, and on and on and on. So there also was a real controversy when I took some sort of intentionally bizarre, non-typical libertarian positions, such as supporting single-payer health care, which is kind of the last thing that any normal libertarian would ever support. But I kind of just wanted to do that to shake people up a little bit and say, look, we don't need any one-size-fits-all philosophy. We need to look at practical solutions for practical problems. And as much as I agree that the government should stay out of as many areas as we can keep it out of in the long run, philosophically, that's all true. I don't want the government running health care forever either. But in the short run, how do we fix this broken system? Probably it'll work best because, the real world shows us that in most of the rest of the industrialized countries of the world, they're spending half as much on health care as we are and getting better results. And they all have some kind of national health care. So, single payer strikes me as just the easiest quick fix. And then in the long run, we can educate people, we can, change medicine, adjust the paradigm of Western medicine. We can find a way to privatize the situation, set up genuinely free health care, the Ron Paul kind of thing. But I don't think pushing through the Ron Paul solution in the immediate future, especially if the economy crashes, is necessarily going to work so well. In this kind of emergency financial situation that we're in right now, ordinary people are going to need a little bit of support. They're going to need help with things like health care and who knows, maybe even stuff like food and heating their homes. And so I don't think we can go to the 100% perfect libertarian paradise immediately in this kind of situation, because I just don't think that private charity is going to, pick up the slack and make sure that everybody gets their serious health needs taken care of and gets their homes heated and, the old people don't starve or have to eat dog food. In this kind of situation, I think we really need to be moderate in our approach to trying to impose the ultimate ideal libertarian solutions on things. So by making these kinds of arguments, I've taken some flack from Wisconsin libertarians. You might even have heard me taking some flack recently. I had on Ken Van Doren, who was an advisor to my opponent in the libertarian primary here, Ben Olson. And Ken and I were on my other show on the Evil Rival Radio Network on Friday. And, what we found out was despite these minor issues, we actually agree on far more than we disagree on. In fact, we pretty much agree on just about everything. So finding common ground with people is really what it's all about. You can't actually get anything done unless you're willing to find common ground. around. Be flexible with your own principles. Find pragmatic solutions, even if they're you have to really flex your principles a little bit to find them. And that's what I would like to do. That's what I've been doing in the 9/11 Truth Movement, trying to bring Christians, Jews, and Muslims together, which is quite a task in and of itself. Hey, let's check back and see if by any chance we got our guests yet. Anybody home yet? Dale Decker? Ed Thompson? Okay, still waiting. Well, we'll hopefully get these great Wisconsin troublemakers on. I guess I can tell you a little bit more about what Dale was up to. Dale became notorious when he got a visit from the police because he'd been hanging his flag upside down from his apartment balcony. And the local police apparently in where's Dale? I think he's in like Wausau or someplace over there in central Wisconsin. Maybe where was that? It's slipping my mind right now. But he was over in the eastern side of the state from where I am. And after flying his flag upside down as a signal of dire distress, with good reasons for that dire distress, things like the 9/11 inside job, the Federal Reserve depredations and things like that. The police came and had words with him, and then after more people had more words, Dale, his landlord then got a visit from these people or a call from the police or something, and the landlord told him to take his flag down, and the whole thing got covered by the local Fox News channel. And the Fox News people did a show on him in which they censored his real reasons for hanging his flag upside down. They said that it was just because of some economic hard times and such. And so he was pretty mad about that, and he couldn't get them to correct the record. You know, I hear something on the line. Maybe one of my guests is there. Is this Ed or Dale yet?
Hi, Ed. This is Ed, Kevin.
It's Ed. Hey, how are you doing, Ed?
Fine, Kevin. How are you doing?
Pretty good, yeah. So just for my listeners, the clarification, this is Ed Thompson, the mayor of Tomah, Wisconsin, Wisconsin's most popular libertarian statesman. And an all-around good guy. I guess I already sort of introduced you before you showed up, so I won't rehash it. But hey, it's great to have you on. Thanks for coming on, Ed.
Of course, Kevin. Anything for you. How you been?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to keep my campaign on track through the vicissitudes of fortune, slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Hey, you done a fantastic job. You can hold your head very high. You've done a terrific job at running your campaign and with so little money, and you're out there working, and you beat a candidate that worked hard to beat you. So.
Yeah, well, it was a fun campaign, and as I was saying before you came on, I really admire Ben Olson and also Ken Van Doren, who was helping Ben's campaign. I had Ken on the radio on Friday.
Oh, you did?
And yeah, we had a really good conversation.
Good people.
Oh yeah, great, great guy. You know,
and he's a hard worker too. Hard working construction worker, build a business.
Yeah.
By himself. You know, he's a one man construction company. He works very hard.
Yeah. So what's it called? Liberty Construction or something?
Something like that. Yeah, he does everything. He's a very talented man.
Yeah. And he's a smart guy too. You know,
as smart as a weapon. Yeah, and he's certainly involved in a lot of. He's certainly set up with a lot of the ways our government is going. How could you not be, Kevin?
Well, yeah, at this point, if you're not fed up, you're definitely not paying attention.
You're not awake. What is the matter with these people?
Yeah, well, they're going to be, we're going to have to wait till people are starving and, in the streets before they get mad?
I don't know, Kevin. It just seems like if they don't even see, they don't hear, they're blind to reality. It's too bad.
Yeah, it sure is. This billionaire bailout bill, like the $700 billion billionaire banker bailout bill. I managed to get that.
Let's bail out all the fat cats that made terrible loans and, take $1 trillion out of our infrastructure that's desperately needed. Bridges falling in Minnesota, killing people. Tom alone, we had three cave-ins, and now we're going to take $700 trillion and buy assets that are useless or won't, maybe 20 years from now, they might be able to sell them, they said. What? Because who would do anything that stupid? Only the government.
Well, I guess that's because it's just the taxpayers that are at risk here. And
all the money we've paid all our lives, Kevin, you and me and all these everybody who's paid their taxes, honestly, who they threatened to shut my business once down because I was late with my withholding tax. And times are hard, so it's just unbelievable that all that money that we paid in now is in a... to bail out a bunch of fat cat bankers who do the worst people in business, who made the stupidest loans, who is, you know, ran by greed, and they get in a federal handout, a bailout, and the rest of us have to pay for it. There's no way we come out of this.
That's thing. Right. It's reverse Robin Hood economics.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Give it to the billionaires. Okay. We'll have to
the poor thing. They might lose. Look. I'm embarrassed that they'd even come up with such a stupid plan, and they're going to go with it. That's the problem.
It looks like they are. Well, we're going to have to make some noise if they do.
News, politics, cover-ups, government corruption. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
WTPRN.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm Kevin Barrett on the web at truthjihad.com and also barrettforcongress.us. I'm talking right now with Ed Thompson. He's kind of my role model here for what I'm doing running for Congress. You know, Ed is another reluctant politician who was raided. His supper club was raided for illegal gambling. He had a penny ante video poker machine going. And they tried to throw 8 years in prison and a $40,000 fine at him, and Ed just wouldn't buckle. He stood up against those guys and won. And the next thing you know, the people by acclamation suddenly wanted Ed to be representing them, and it's pretty much from there on out, it's been one success after another, Ed. I'm really impressed by what you've managed to accomplish. You've got a really great business going. You're probably the best political prospect in this district. I hate to admit that your prospects are better than mine, but I think that you, if you decide to run against whoever wins this thing, maybe me, but I doubt it, 2 years from now, you actually would have a much, really strong chance of winning.
Well, I sure hope that you win it, and we wouldn't have to even think about it then.
Well, on the other hand, if you decided to challenge me, I'd probably just step down and let you take your turn. The founding fathers, they didn't believe in just going to Washington and making it a career. They had, people going and serving for a term or two and stepping down, letting somebody else do it.
Wasn't that smart? Especially if they thought people were qualified to do it. And it was just, they were really interested in building a free country. What happened to us?
Yeah, it's supposed to be about public service, and keeping the country free, keeping the government under control, and now it's all just so out of control.
It's so out of control. It's so government controlled. It's so not free. It's so, police state. It's encumbered by stupid laws, stupid enforcement. It's just crazy what they've done to our country.
Did you hear about the NORTHCOM combat brigade that's going to be deployed in the USA in violation of Posse Comitatus to enforce order and quell dissent? This is the latest thing. They're starting on October 1st, Ed. Can you believe that?
What?
Comitatus is dead.
Oh, my God. Where is this coming out of?
Well, this is just the latest of all of these police state moves that the Bush administration has been making. But, yeah, they're bringing home this whole brigade from Iraq, and they're deploying them here in the U.S.
What for?
They claim it's in case of things like disasters, man-made or natural disasters.
That's the disaster. They're the disaster.
You're right. Yeah, violating posse comitatus like that is itself a pretty major disaster.
Yeah. Lord almighty, they're the disaster. Gee. What is going to go, Kevin? I don't know. Is there any way, is it possible to take it back, you think, or is it just, are we just treading water, splashing around, making noise, and it's just rolling over us?
Well, I sure don't know. I do think that when things really start to get tough economically and people, you know, really feeling the pain, at that point, you know, they may stop falling for all this hypnotic stuff that's coming out of their television set.
You know, I've never realized how much that, how true that is. We're brainwashed. We are totally, the whole country's neurotic. It's a curse what that television has done to us. You know, we got the whole country interested in a murder in Florida right now. You know, this Kaylee thing, I don't know if you've been following that.
Well, no, you know, actually, Ed, I don't even have a TV. So
you're blessed. You're blessed. Your mind isn't cluttered with the nonsense that's on it.
But, yeah, so go ahead and tell me about it. I got everybody worried about some murder in Florida.
Well, some girl, Kaylee, was kidnapped or murdered. Her mother, they thought, did it, Casey. And I just, you know, all I know is as I go past the channel, it's never any. They did the same thing that Scott Peterson case. Remember that? A murder in California was the whole news for a year and a half until they finally sent him up. Or the Gary Condit one before the 911. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was interesting, though, because I don't know if you heard about this, Ed, but there's a former national security whistleblower named Wayne Madsen. He's probably the best conduit for whistleblowers in the national security community, and he suggested that they may have killed her because she was, Condit was actually hearing about 9/11 before it happened.
Really?
And, so she may, and he was having an affair with her. There may have been some pillow talk, and she may have known a lot more than she was supposed to have known. That's what they're telling Wayne Madsen.
Because that was right at that time. I remember that day, the early morning before 9 o'clock, it was all Gary Condit on TV, and then they broke in the news and they showed the planes running in to the towers, and that's
right.
The last thing I heard about Gary Condit.
Right. Well, that kind of erased a whole lot of stories, including the missing $2.3 trillion from the Pentagon budget.
Oh my God, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah,
$2.3 trillion.
Yeah, 2.3.
But pretty soon we'll be talking real money around here, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, 2.3 trillion here, 2.3 trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money.
Yeah, oh, Toledo.
Yeah, well, that was Rumsfeld went on C-SPAN on September 10th, 2001, and he announced that 2.3 trillion had gone missing. So that was an interesting day to choose. Usually you don't announce bad news on a Monday because then they have the whole week to hammer you with it. Normally you announce bad news on a Friday. But Rumsfeld announced this on a Monday almost as if he knew that something would come along on Tuesday that would make people forget all about it.
Isn't that something? Yeah, that should still be the talk. Trillions of dollars. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, that was at that time. That was about, I think, three times the annual military budget. All of it, you know, how can you lose track of three times the entire annual U.S. military budget?
God, somebody's hands in the cookie jar, I guarantee you that, Kevin.
Oh, these people are shameless. They're, this banker bailout thing is, you know, just the tip of the iceberg. What's our whole national debt is up to some, you know, pushing $10 trillion now, I think Ken was saying the other day.
I can't even comprehend that number.
Right.
I can't comprehend
billionaire,
it.
Right.
A million is beyond me, and now you're talking about $1,000 billion is a trillion, isn't it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So the $700 billion bailout, that's the, like $10,000 from every household right there.
Break that down. How many in that household are actually wage earners? You know, there's babies and people in nursing homes, and there's a big margin of that 300 million people that they say,
right.
Each one's worth 10, 20,000. So if you really took it down to the wage earners, the ones who are making money, I wonder what that number would be.
Yeah, well, it's a huge chunk of money. And then, of course, it all, you know, then we're going to probably be throwing good money after bad.
When haven't we?
Yeah, you know, I still think there is some hope, though, Ed. I think
people where? Ron Tell Paul, me where. Dr. Paul.
Well, yeah, Ron Paul's ability to wake up a whole lot of people this year, I think, is a very good sign. You need to keep running with that.
He's going to give a talk in Nina next Saturday. I know. He's got a special meeting in.
Great.
It's for the John Birch Society.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to try and get over there.
I am, too. Maybe we can hook up.
Yeah, sure. That's kind of on the way. Yeah, that should be interesting. And you know, Ron Paul is, I wish he had dumped the Republican Party and gone independent, because that's the one place where I just think the Republican Party is messed up. Anyway, we'll pick it up when we come back. This is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Ed Thompson, the mayor of Tomah, Wisconsin. We shall return.
Giving the power back to the people. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm Kevin Barrett. Today I'm talking with Ed Thompson, the mayor of Tomah, Wisconsin. He's been a boxer, a professional poker player, a tavern owner, a construction worker, and a salesman. And his brother Tommy was the politician in the family until Ed stood up to the fanatical, you know, crazed enforcers of the government and ended up being drafted by popular acclaim into politics. And he's been one of Wisconsin's most respected statesmen ever since. Well, Ed, we were talking a little bit about the Libertarian Party and its presidential candidate Bob Barr during the break. And I know both of us, you know, when we went to the Libertarian Convention in Colorado and spent some time together there, I know neither of us were really big fans of Barr. We were voting for other people. What's your take on the current state of the party and its presidential candidate?
It's hard for me to see how a party of principle is going to be backing somebody that is so not libertarian. I mean, on everything he voted for while he was in Congress, you know, he voted, was he the enforced the Marriage Act or whatever that was, and he was voted against the war, for the war at every occasion. So, but now when he was defeated as a Republican in Georgia, he suddenly was a libertarian with a different philosophy. So it's hard for me to go with that. And Mary Ruart, the candidate who was a libertarian, was a strong libertarian, wrote books about libertarianism and lived her life and practiced it. And sometimes it isn't just always the numbers. Sometimes you have to stick by who you really are or what your really basic beliefs are. And if you can't do that, then you know, then it's phony as far as I'm concerned, and I have a problem with that, Kevin.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way, too, about Barr and also his vice presidential choice, Wayne Allen Root. You know, I like those guys. They've got energy, and you know, they're probably certainly better than the major party candidates. And I actually,
well, that would take much to prove upon.
That's true, yeah. Well, no, they're way better than the major party.
They're way better than the major party.
That goes without saying.
That's...
but you know, I did hear an interesting thing about Bob Barr, though, on the show, about 2 weeks ago. Sherry Clark came on my show. She's the publisher of the Liberty Voice, which is a really good little paper out of Columbus, Ohio. And she got a half-hour one-on-one interview with Bob Barr out there in Columbus.
And what'd she say?
Well, she
what was her feelings when she came away? I'd be really interested.
No, she came away liking Bob Barr a lot, and partly because, you know, they got in there together. It was just her and him. And, you know, she's pretty, you know, she's a very personable individual, really can bring people out pretty well. And so she said to him, she said, you know, well, I used to be a Republican too, Bob. And you know what changed my mind? And he said, what? She said, 9/11, when I figured out that was an inside job, it really turned me around. How about you? And he said, hell yes.
Really?
And they thought, yeah. So it turns out that, yeah, they have been, they continued.
Well, maybe I might be back in Bob Barr.
Well, yeah. So he's a closet 9/11 truther, apparently. But my question is why he won't get even a little toe out of the closet. And,
well,
and
that's the whole thing. I mean, Jesse obviously didn't have a problem.
Oh, Jesse Ventura. Yeah, now that's the guy I respect for, you know, calling it the way he sees it. He doesn't stand up and say, well, this is obviously an inside job. But he comes, you know, he says, well, this, you know, I'm a expert.
He asks a lot of questions. You know, I've never seen a fire totally dissolve a building before in my life, and you're saying that's what caused it. He asks a lot of questions, and what was the last answer that they came out from the government that was all caused by fire?
Yeah, they finally said that Building 7, which was never hit by a plane, turns out that it was just office fires. They said it wasn't even the diesel fuel in the basement. That had nothing to do with it. It was just some ordinary office fires.
Which would totally dissolve they would turn it into powder. Is that what they're trying to tell us?
Straight down at free fall speed. Yeah.
No, that's impossible, Kevin.
Well, that sure is.
I mean, that is impossible. I mean, I was hoping to God they'd come up with, and that closed the books on it, huh, when they came up with that explanation?
Well, they hope so, but of course, at this point, there are hundreds and hundreds of architects and engineers and scientists and other experts who know that they're completely full of it. And so, we've got the scholars for 9/11 Truth, and scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, and the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and you know, all of these people are now on, you know, asking them for corrections and posting comments, and I don't think they're going to get away with it. This report on Building 7 is so far, you know, so far out there, so obviously false.
I mean, they knew that one was pulled, but I thought even Al Gore said that he thought that one was.
No, I don't know about that.
I thought somebody thought. I don't know if he did or not. That's what I heard. And then I thought that Jesse said that, you know, he was
he was in the SEALs.
The Navy SEALs. And he said they'd demolished buildings. And, you know, he said he'd never, ever seen one, ever even thought about coming down by way of fire.
Yeah, he does say that his expertise in that field makes him look at these building collapses and really, really wonder, you know, what's going on. They look like demolitions, and the stories that, you know, they've given us that fire has basically taken down all three of these buildings. You know, the first time in history that any steel framed tall building ever completely collapsed for any reason.
Yeah, it just couldn't. Even if it was
all in the same day.
Even if it had such incredible heat that it would meld it together, there would be something left beside powder, wouldn't there?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Although there's no way they could possibly get enough heat to melt that steel, and there was molten steel, of course. There were rivers of molten steel, but you never get that. You can't possibly melt steel with normal fires. It just can't happen.
It couldn't possibly because of the heat of that. And of all the steel, that's what gets me more than anything, because all those steel girders, the frames, the framework was steel. So, you know, imagine the heat. And even then, at heat, there would be some form of melted stuff someplace. It had to be something. Something besides fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was demolition for sure. And, you know, there were a number of reasons for it, you know, primarily to shock people and have that shock effect that allows people to be brainwashed. And you know, they can change whole countries by shocking people, as Naomi Klein talks about in her book, The Shock Doctrine. And that's what they're doing again now. On the 7th anniversary of 9/11, they're shocking us with this imminent financial collapse, and they're using the shock to force us to accept things that we would never accept unless we were panicked and shocked.
Fear. Yeah. Fear is the motivation. Yeah. Weapons of mass destruction. We've got to kill them over there. They'll be killing us here.
Yeah. And why do people have to be so afraid of that stuff? I mean, what?
How will they get them over here? By camel? I don't know. They certainly don't have...
Well, the thing is that it's not even something that they would want to do because the...
Of course
the people,
not.
You know, the Bin Laden and people like that who want the U.S. out of the Middle East, and, of course, actually a lot of people over there do want the U.S. out of the Middle East, but they know that coming over here and attacking us is just going to get us deeper into the Middle East. And
sure.
So it's only...
So they just wouldn't do it.
Right. I mean, nobody who would be smart enough to pull off an attack over here would be stupid enough to want to.
No, what could they do? I mean, God.
They might attack us over there. I mean, that I think there are some, you know, there are definitely people in Iraq who are, in fact, pretty much the whole population of Iraq supports attacking us over there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure.
That's effective. They know that they can get us out by attacking us over there, but they also know that, you know, that wouldn't serve their purposes to attack us here. So this whole thing is a big farce.
So how do we honestly and truly turn it around, Kevin? That's the question. How do we ever get human beings to see that they've just been brainwashed? You know, they're hooked into their belief systems. How are we ever going to get them to see that it's just not true? All the doctrine and the dogma and everything that's been shoved down our throats. You know, why can't they just see that we're just human beings and we all have, you know, we all put our pants on the same way. Why in the world can't we just get along? I don't care what anybody believes, as long as he doesn't affect me. I don't care. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me what anybody on the planet believes. What can I do about it anyway?
Right, right. Why fight about something like beliefs? Beliefs aren't real anyway. As you told me just a couple of weeks ago, Ed, the only thing that's real is the nice day today that we're, you know, the now. We'll be back in another now in just a few moments. So stick around. Kevin Darrett with Ed Thompson. You're on.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back to the Truth Jihad Radio Show, right here at We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Ed Thompson, the mayor of Tomah, Wisconsin, and now we have our other scheduled guest, Dale Decker. Dale is with the Union Down Movement. He got all kinds of coverage in the media, led by, of all places, Fox News, for hanging his flag upside down as a signal of dire distress. And now Dale has been protesting the billionaire banker $700 billion bailout bill at the courthouse in which town was that, Dale?
Brown County. I was right in downtown Green Bay.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right. And yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because, you know, we need to be getting out there into the streets in front of the courthouses and other public places protesting this ridiculous robbery of the taxpayers. So what happened there in Green Bay, Dale?
It was very peaceful. I mean, everybody was in line. There's, you know, nobody was violent or screaming obscenities or anything like that. In fact, my favorite chant was, defend your constitution. That seemed to get a lot of response from people. People were walking up right off the street and joining us. And, it was something else. We had all the media there from Green Bay. We had WBAY TV2, which is ABC. We had WFRB Channel 5, which is CBS. We had Fox 11 there again. We had NBC 26 was there. The Green Bay Press Gazette was there. There was a couple independent newspapers there, and we got a lot of cover time. One of the things that did kind of disturb me was the reporter from WFRV TV5. When she got there, it seemed like the only thing she wanted us to do is to agree that the blame for the problems that the bailout is trying to cure was caused by the American taxpayer, because they took out too many loans when the interest rates were unnaturally low, and it's their fault because now that the interest rates went higher, they can't afford to pay their loans off. And that deeply disturbed me that a reporter would take that stance that failed banks and failed policies by those banks would be the cause of the financial meltdown of the entire American economy.
They always try to blame the people that take the loans, not the banks that make the bad loans. And a lot of times when these banks make bad loans like this, and I think in this case is another example, they're intentionally making loans that they know won't be paid back in order to engineer a crisis. You know, that's what John Perkins talks about in Confessions of an Economic Hitman, when the international monetary fund and groups like that are loaning huge amounts of money at high interest to other countries. The whole purpose of that is to make sure that those countries will never be able to pay back those loans so they can move in and grab their hard assets. And that's what these guys are doing. Now they're trying to grab our hard assets by, you know, stealing $700 billion from our pockets.
I read an article on the Internet last night. Unfortunately, it was sent to me, and there was no author to give credit to. But he said that he claimed to be an economics major, and he said what he sees going on is what's going to happen is, and I guess they have come to an agreement on this bailout at some point today. In fact, I'm looking at Yahoo right now. It says this was printed 13 minutes ago that they have finally agreed on a $700 billion rescue plan.
They've agreed on it?
Yeah, that 13 minutes ago was posted on Yahoo.com.
That's just a plain theft from the average American Joe. It's just theft no matter how you cut the cake.
Yeah, they're robbing the American people. And in this article, this gentleman states that they're going to, and this is exactly what he said, they're going to pass the bailout plan today. And we already know that the Fed has been printing money since they've been talking about doing this. And the reason they're doing this is they're printing the money to send out to the banks, so the banks have the money. Because once the bailout comes, they figure there's going to be a run on banks all over America. People are going to start pulling their money out of the banks. And this is so the banks have the money to give out to the people, okay?
Well,
when the money's all gone, when everybody has their money, then hyperinflation is going to kick in. And now you have all your cash in hand. So now when the banks collapse and all that money you just took out is worthless, they've just purchased America.
Yeah, well, that's the increasing liquidity ahead of a crisis. And actually, they did that before 9/11. You know, I've been contacted by all kinds of people with all kinds of interesting stories about 9/11. But one that did pan out was this guy, I forget his name, from Chicago, worked for the financiers in Chicago. And apparently a month and a half before 9/11, they put in massive amounts of cash into the system, huge, liquidity increase, because whenever there's a crisis, they want lots of liquidity. So that's what they're probably going to do here, too.
Yeah,
and, of course, that does drive inflation.
And what they've done is despicable. It's horrible. It's disgusting. The sign I had, and Kevin, I'll email you the links to the videos from the news. I made a sign, and it said the $700 billion distress signal. And here's the funny thing: I had a 2-foot by 3-foot piece of paper. Okay, so that's a pretty good piece of paper. I could not fit all the zeros of $700 billion. In one line across that paper. I had to go down at the end because I had to finish putting the rest of the zeros in. That's how much money. And we did some mathematics and we figured this out. If we printed 700 billion $1 bills and laid them side by side across the grass of the Green Bay County Courthouse, it would cover the entire grass and then it would go up 3,865 feet.
Oh man.
That's how many $1 bills it would take to cover $700 billion. It would go over 3,000 feet in the sky, covering the entire grass area of the Brown County Courthouse.
So that's quite a pile of money right there.
Yeah, I'd say so. I said one of the comments I had made was, isn't it amazing? You know, the first thing they do is they collapse the World Trade Center, you know, two of them, the tallest buildings in the world, and now they're about to rob the American people of a stack of money three times higher than what they were.
Yeah, well, it's the financial 9/11, all right. That's what people are starting to call it.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's a perfect example of that shock doctrine.
I think it's the next false flag attack.
Yeah, well, Peter Fadiman in the first segment did say that because of the 9/11 truth movement, he thinks that's the reason that they did 1929 instead of 2001. That they can't get away with another false flag attack like 9/11, so they're just going directly to the economic front. And I suppose that's better. At least nobody's getting blown up.
Well, our economy just did.
Economy is, yeah, nothing but the economy. That's all. We'll all be out of our houses and in the streets and starving, but at least they didn't blow us up.
In fact, on the headline of my website, which is myspace.com/USADexter, it says the American economy has become the fourth American icon to be dropped at free fall speed at the hands of the Bush administration.
Yikes. Yeah, well, that's about it.
It's really sad. And I heard you guys talking about this NORTHCOM deal with the I believe it's the 3rd Regiment that's coming back from Iraq to patrol the streets on October 1st.
That's right.
I don't know if you guys got into any of this, but the 3rd Brigade is the most battle-hardened military brigade that's been in Iraq, and they've been there for 29 months. And this is the group of people who have done most of the door-to-door fighting in Baghdad. They served their whole time in what they call full battle rattle, which means that they have everything that they need to do what they have to do to take over a city. Now, you know, the end of Posse Comitatus in the first place is absolutely ridiculous. The government should never be allowed to use its own military against its own people, and we know that. But
right.
The question I have to raise is, why would you, even if you were going, even if you needed assistance for the police in America, okay, to help with the security of whatever's that they're going to claim they need security for, why would you bring home the most battle-hardened soldiers the military has to pull off this operation?
Well, it's probably because they're planning on really cracking down on them.
You think they're going to come knocking on our doors, Kevin?
They're going to come kicking in our doors. You know, that's, if you look at what they did to the people in Iraq, kick in the doors, violate the women, humiliate people, torture people, drag them off the sex torture gulag. It's not a pretty picture. Now they're turning their guns on us. So we're going to have to stand up and fight back one way or another. It looks like we've come to the end of today's show. Well, thanks, Dale, and thanks, Ed. It's been a great conversation. Got to keep standing up and fighting for our freedom before the last shred of it is taken away. All right, that's Dale Decker on the web at USADexter and Ed Thompson at RemarkableMan.net. I'm Kevin Barrett. I'll be back next week. I'm at BarrettForCongress.us. Until then, see you later.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.